Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
This morning, I want to get right into the Word. I want to give you a homework assignment. I don't do this very often, but I'm going to do it today. How many of you are ready for some homework?
Yay.
This past Wednesday night, I preached a message to our Wednesday night crowd, and it was called Guarding Your Heart. And I would challenge every person in the room, but especially men, or if you're single and you're the leader of your house, I would challenge you to go back and listen to Wednesday night's message. Now, I ask you to do that about once or twice a year. And this is one of those times that I believe the Wednesday night. I almost walked in this morning and just re-preached Wednesday night's message again. But I knew there would be about six of you that would be saying, man, I've heard this before. But you may hear it again anyway later on. But the only way you can find it is go to our YouTube channel and watch it from this past Wednesday night. So there's my shameless plug for this past Wednesday night's message. I also could let you know part two of that will be happening this Wednesday. I want you to imagine with me this morning, you're driving down the road, maybe you and your spouse, you and a friend, you're driving down the road and you look over to the person driving the car. You're the rider and you look over to the person driving the car and they're sound asleep. What would your reaction be? Would you sit there and consider, should I wake them? Would you think, you know, they really need their sleep? I mean, they've had a busy week. I mean, it's tired. It's a busy time of year. What would your reaction be? You would awaken them from their sleep, right? I don't know if any of my victims are in the room today, but one of my favorite things to do when I travel with someone and I'm driving, which if you're traveling with me, chances are I'm driving because I'm a control freak. But when I'm driving and someone new is riding with me, one of my favorite things to do is when they're not paying attention, just kind of lean my head back on the headrest and just close the eye that's facing them so that what they can see makes me look like I'm asleep. I have gotten people with that for about two decades ago when I was youth pastor. I used to do it all the time. My kids love me for it. There are certain students that I would get over and over and over again. All kinds of reactions when they thought I was asleep at the wheel. How many would think that if someone's sleeping at the wheel, it's a big deal? It's a big deal. I know we have cars that will supposedly drive for us today, but I still think you need to keep your eyes open. Because it's dangerous when you're asleep at the wheel. It's not just dangerous for you. It's dangerous for the people in the car with you. It's dangerous for the people that might meet you on the road. It's dangerous for the people that are walking down the sidewalk. It's just not, I don't care what Tesla says, don't sleep at the wheel. Can I tell you, it's really easy to, spiritually speaking, find ourselves sleeping at the wheel spiritually. Some of you have, maybe you've heard or met someone who sleepwalks. Maybe they get up at night and they walk around without knowing about it. Megan and I have a dear friend of ours who, after a stressful period in her life, she woke up and she would wake up in the mornings and discover that brand new bags of Cheetos had been completely eaten during the night. And she was single. She lived by herself. And she had no recollection of what happened to this food. She had been sleep eating. There's a lot of things you can do in your sleep, but I would say anytime you're going through the motions and your mind and heart is not engaged, it's sort of dangerous. The same is true spiritually speaking. Your spiritual life is too important to be asleep at the wheel. And let me just press this one more point. The people who I've talked to who have fallen asleep at the wheel of their car, eaten the Cheetos in the middle of the night, walked across the room or out of their house sleepwalking, are there's a family member I live with who actually talks in their sleep. None of these people, not only did they not remember doing it, they didn't realize they were sleepwalking, sleep talking, sleep eating, sleep driving. The reason I bring that up this morning is when we are asleep spiritually, oftentimes the last person to know it is us. Our wife may know it, our spouse may know it, our kids may know it, others around us may know that we are spiritually asleep at the wheel, and the last person to know it is us. So Ephesians chapter 5 tells us, wake up. Tell your neighbor to wake up. Wake up, oh sleeper. If your spouse is asleep at the wheel, you're probably not going to say, pardon me. You might want to grab the wheel first, and then you're going to shake them and say, wake up! Today, I've just come to yell at you for a few minutes and say, wake up. Rise from the dead. Listen to this. And Christ will shine on you. If you have been asleep spiritually, I got good news for you this morning. Christ is ready to shine His presence on your life. Fresh and new. Be very careful. If this passage sounds familiar, it was just on the screen during prayer time, so you're not having deja vu. This is for real. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for the Lord. Father, I pray this morning, the last thing we need is another dissertation from a person. We need a word from God today, and I pray today that you would just help me today to speak the words of God alone, in order our ears, our hearts, and our minds to not just hear what someone's saying, but to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Do that to us, through us, for us this morning, and we'll commit ourselves to respond to what the Spirit of God is saying. And everybody in the room says, amen. Wake up. Wake up, old sleeper. Life has a way of lulling us to sleep. You know, I don't know if you've ever gotten a new job, if you've moved to a new community, or if you've had a major transition in your life, but here's what I've discovered. Most of the time when someone takes a new job, moves to a new community, lives in a new house, that they spend a lot of their time trying to get things in their new environment like they like it. The beginning of something takes a lot of intentionality, it takes a lot of work, but you're usually working to get things how you believe they're supposed to be, and once you get them how they're supposed to be, now you think I can take it easy. And once you get it how you want it to be, and now you can take it easy, what happens next is without knowing about it, you fall asleep. There's two things that can cause us to fall asleep at the wheel of our life spiritually, and they're kind of polar opposites of one another. The first thing that can cause us to fall asleep at the wheel spiritually is when life is really familiar. Maybe you've been in the same job for a while. You've been parenting now for a decade. Your kids are teenagers. You're starting to get this parenting thing down. You've been in ministry a while. You've been serving God a while. Can I tell you, sometimes when things get familiar, they get dangerous. I'll never forget when I learned how to ride a motorcycle. I've been riding for about a day or so, and the guy who taught me how to ride the motorcycle asked me, he said, how are you doing? I said, I think I got it. He said, then you are poised for a crash. Right? The minute you think you got it is actually the moment you are poised for destruction. The Bible says, actually, that be careful the moment you think you stand, lest you fall. You got to be careful. Sometimes the familiar can be dangerous to us. I don't know, how many in the room commute on a regular basis? Maybe Little Rock, somewhere like that. Several in the room today. For about 3 years, Megan and I had a 45-minute commute every day. Most of the time, I was doing the commute by myself, but on weekends, we had to do it together. And for 3 years, I commuted about 45 minutes every day. 45 minutes. There's only one major town between the two cities, one I lived in, one I worked in. But there was a city right in the middle. It's the halfway point, one stoplight city kind of place. And I cannot tell you how many times I left City A and arrived at City B not remembering going through that town in the middle. Scary. You remember the beginning of the trip, you don't remember anything after. You just know you left here and you got there. I was sort of asleep at the wheel. I was in autopilot. Life can, spiritually, friends, our life can be dangerous when we're just living by, we're going through the motions, but our heart is not engaged. That's my definition of sleep, spiritually being asleep at the wheel. We're doing the motions, but our mind is not engaged. Our heart is not engaged. We're just doing it because it's what we do. It's just familiar. You know, this happened to Jesus. People were familiar with him, and his familiar people's familiarity with him actually cost them from seeing him do what he wanted to do in their lives. Jesus went to the city of Nazareth one day and began to pray for some people, and people began to say, oh, that's just Jesus. He's from around here. His dad's the carpenter. His mom is Mary. Look, here there's his brothers and sisters down the street. It's just Jesus there. And the Bible says this, that he couldn't do many miracles there because they were familiar with him. Nathan, one of the disciples of Jesus, when he heard about who Jesus was, they thought, he said, can anything really significant, anything good come from Nazareth? He almost wrote off Jesus because it was just familiarity. Sometimes we limit what God can do because we think our lives are too familiar. Well, it's just me. It's just here. It's just that place. Well, I need to become something I'm not or go somewhere I'm not. I need to go here, buy this. I need something new in order for God to do something. And we limit what God can do because we think where I am is too familiar. Be careful. Don't let the familiar just blind you. Sometimes the reason the familiar blinds us is because when we're familiar with it, we think, Pastor, why does that happen? Here's why it happens. Because when we're familiar with something, we think this, I can handle it. When we're familiar with something, we get this thought process, well, I can do this. I've done it before. I can do it again. Be careful. I want to remind you what John 15 says, that he is the vine, we are the branches. And the final part of that scripture says this, apart from him, we can do nothing. And then the word has a big period at the end of that sentence, that apart from him, we can do nothing, period. So even when things are familiar, we cannot lose, we can't sleepwalk. We got to wake up. Tell your neighbor again, you got to wake up. And if you'll wake up, here's the promise. The Lord says his presence will shine on you fresh and new. The second time when we are blinded and we fall asleep to what God wants to do in our lives, we fall asleep spiritually. It's not just when things are familiar, but sometimes it's the opposite, when things are totally unfamiliar. When things are unfamiliar, sometimes we think, man, I don't have time to pray, I don't have time to read, I don't have time to engage with the Lord. This is so new, sometimes we're so bombarded by fear, we're so overwhelmed by the newness of something, we think, I don't know what to do here. But did you know you can be in the presence of the Lord and not know it? I want to say that again. Did you know you can be in the presence of the Lord and not know it? Anytime you're in the presence of the Lord and you don't know it, I would call that spiritually sleepwalking. Being asleep at the wheel. When you're in the presence of the Lord and you don't know it. Sometimes when we're in unfamiliar seasons, going through things we've never gone through before, we can be in the presence of the Lord and not even know it. You know what happened to Jacob? He was fleeing Esau. His brother was out to kill him because he stole his birthright. And Jacob is running away, trying to get out of town. He fell asleep. He had this vision of the Lord. Angels going up and down, and he woke up and he says these words, surely the presence of the Lord was in this place, and I didn't know it. Why didn't he know it? Because it's unfamiliar to him. He was so overwhelmed with the problems in his life, he couldn't see the presence of God in his life. Let me just ask you, don't let the problems around you blind you to the presence of God that is with you. Anytime you're convinced that the presence of God is away from you, that should be a warning sign. Beep, 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 beep. That should be an alarm on your system that lets you know I am spiritually asleep if I am not aware of the presence of the Lord. Because the reality is he is with us. So I said all that I said I kind of fasted now. I'll try to slow down, but I probably won't. I said all that to say this. How can we awaken ourselves so that God's presence can shine on us fresh and new? That's the question of the day. Ephesians, Paul gives us a few ways. I want to give them to you this morning. Number one, he says, be very careful. Be wise. Don't just live foolishly, but be wise. If you're going to awaken, you've got to be wise. Well, I don't know about you, but be careful. Be careful. This is a phrase that Megan and I say to each other all the time. Be careful. We tell our kids, be careful. They don't do it, but we tell them, be careful. Right? We've seen them fall before. They forget they've fallen before. So we say, be careful. Be careful how you live. We say it all the time. Paul is saying, be careful how you live. I like what John Scott said. I think I put this quote on the screen for you. He says, everything worth doing, look at this, everything worth doing requires care. We take trouble over things which seem to matter to us, our job, our education, our home, our family, our hobbies, our dress, our appearance. So as Christians, we must take trouble or take care over our Christian life. We must treat it as a very serious thing because it is. If we're not careful, we'll spend more time being careful over things that don't matter than things that do matter. If we're not careful, parents, we'll spend more time being careful over other people than the people that matter most. Do you know who the people that matter the most in your life are? Those that live with you, your sons and your daughters. At some point, that boss at work is going to get promoted, fire you, leave town, whatever. I'm not saying to not be good at work, but what we need to understand who it is that God's made us responsible for. Be careful over the things that matter. Sometimes we give those that matter less than we give those that matter less. Does that make sense? So we've got to be wise in how we live. With that same thought in mind, what matters more than our relationship with God? I also see people put more commitment to other things than the things of God. We've got to be wise. Philippians chapter 2 says, therefore, dear brothers, you've always heard me say, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, he says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What's that fear and trembling? He's saying, be careful about how you live. God's called us to live wisely. What does it mean to live wise? I want to give you a few things. Number one, wise people will live to please God. You were once in darkness, Ephesians says, but now you're in the light. Live as children of the light and find out what pleases the Lord. One of the ways we can awaken ourselves spiritually is by asking, is what I'm doing right now pleasing to the Lord? Is what I did the last 7 days pleasing to the Lord? We can take out our checkbook and see where we spent our money the last 7 days or 7 months and ask, is this pleasing to the Lord? Am I living a way that pleases God? Is my choices pleasing the Lord? Is the commitments I make, is it pleasing the Lord? Sometimes we ask, is it pleasing to me? Is it pleasing to my spouse? Is it pleasing to my family? Is it pleasing to the Joneses who live next door or down the street? Am I pleasing these people? But when's the last time we asked, Lord, is my life pleasing you? Because that is a wise question. Also, wise people live to impact others. How to live wise? You live wise by impacting others. Be wise, Colossians chapter 4 says, in the way you act towards outsiders. I know I've said this before, but let me just refresh our memory today. You and I are the only Bible some people ever read. I don't know if you watch much television, but on television, and the newer the show, or the more recent the report, if you're watching the news, the badder or the worser. Thank you. The worse definition of Christianity you'll watch, you'll receive. Right? When was the last time you saw a church, our pastor, our Christian on television truly being celebrated? Most of the time, they're looking for some way to undermine or undercut or insult people who are living for Jesus. It's happening every day, all the time. You know what the antidote to that is? You and me. You and I get to be the Jesus with skin on that the world cannot ignore. You and I, when people watch the news or watch television, watch Hollywood, and they're portraying Jesus followers in a negative light, you and I get to be the person that the lost person that you go to school with or go to work with and say, you know what, I know that guy that goes to the assembly. He's not that way. Right? The Bible says that we should live such good lives that people would be ashamed to disparage you because your life is evidence to the contrary of what people say, the negative things people say about Jesus' followers. That's why Matthew chapter 5 says, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and give praise to your Father that's in heaven. You and I have a responsibility. Well, Pastor, I thought you were talking about being awake spiritually. You want to be awake spiritually? Decide tomorrow that when you go to work, today I'm here to impact the people around me for Jesus. I'm here to be Jesus with skin on. I'm here to show them what the image of Christ can look like displayed through a person. You say, well, Pastor, you don't understand. I can't witness. I can't testify on my job. If you live for Jesus, you can't help but witness for Jesus on your job. You don't even have to use words. Just live it out. Just live it out. You live for Jesus. I don't care if you're in a place where they say, if you witness for Jesus, you're fired in the moment. You can still live for Jesus, not get fired, but win everybody. How? You live it out. Sometimes we need to talk it out. Like we need to do that at some point. But even if you can't talk it out, if you just live it out, they'll come talk to you. Right? If you'll just live it out, they'll schedule some time after work hours to say, that's why Peter says to always be ready to answer when people ask the hope that resides inside of you. Here's a third thing about wise people living wisely is we have to remember our source of wisdom. It's not us, it's not our education. James says, if you lack wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault and will be given to you. The life of Solomon is evidence that when someone asks God for wisdom, not for their own purposes, but for the purpose of God, he delivers. You and I can each operate in a level above our own education, our intellect, and our ability. How? Ask God. Number two, how can I awaken myself spiritually? Make the most of every opportunity. There's a game. I may have shared this before. There's a game in my house that we don't play. Have I shared this before? You know what game we don't play in my house? Monopoly. We had to decide what's more important, our marriage. We don't play. We haven't played in 20 years. We own the game, but it's taped shut. But we've all played Monopoly, right? I can continue on. Okay. When you land on a square in the game of Monopoly, you have a choice to make, right? What's the choice? I can buy it right now, or I can move on. But if I move on, what's the danger? Someone else is going to buy it, and it's going to cost me more later. It's going to cost me later. When the Word says, make the most of opportunity, every opportunity, what he's saying is we need to kind of have a little bit of a Monopoly-type perspective about our day. If we don't make the most of every opportunity, someone else will. Why do I have to be intentional about teaching my children about the Lord? Because if I don't, someone else might. and I might not like what they teach. Why do I have to stand for God when I can? Because if I don't, someone else may stand who's standing against God. Well, I got to make the most. I've got to have some intentionality. I got to understand. I don't know about you, but I mean, I take my Monopoly serious. I don't fall asleep during Monopoly. There's too much at stake. When we really understand this, making the most of every opportunity, we understand I can't afford to fall asleep. If God's put my feet somewhere, He's called me to try to win that place for Jesus. If He's the people in my life, He's called me to win those people for Jesus. I've got to take every opportunity, because if I don't, someone else with a worse intention may. Number three, be filled with the Spirit. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Do you know how you continually be filled with the Spirit? By the way, that's what it means to be filled. It's not a one-time thing. It's a continual thing. Now, most of y'all know me well enough. You know, I don't drink alcohol, never have, never will. But the rumor is, it takes more than a drop to get you drunk. Some are like, I ain't saying a word. Some of you are like, you all day long, you've been like, yeah, now you're like. According to the things I watch on television, it takes more than a drop to get you drunk. That's the word on the street. And yet some people think a little dab will do me when it comes to the things of God. Let me just have a taste every other week, I'll be just fine. Be filled with the Spirit. It's not a little dab, it's not a little touch, it's not once in a while. It's we have to learn to depend. I love what Charles Stanley says. He says, we must learn to depend on Him every single moment. You know, if Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18, be filled with the Spirit. If that wasn't there, then everything I'm preaching about today would be a list of do's and don'ts. Right? Don't fall asleep. Share the gospel. It would all be a list of... But verse 18, Paul changes the whole conversation here, because he reminds us the way we keep our spiritual self awake is we have to be filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit allows us to, as we're staying under His influence, influence others in the right way. Now, I borrowed a sponge this morning, and I did not know when I asked to borrow a sponge, I was getting like the super, like, this is legit. And this is so legit, it almost messes up my illustration. But just imagine this was a Walmart sponge instead. You know, like a real live sponge, right? Did you know if you take a perfectly good sponge and go out there and wash your car with it, but you don't apply any water to the car or any water to the sponge, you just start with dry sponge and dry car, you just start wiping that dirt off the car, what happens? Scratches it, right? The same thing that could bring cleansing, that could bring help, it now brings harm. Why? Because it wasn't filled with something besides itself. Sometimes we believe as a church, our job is to go out and try to clean people up, try to clean ourselves up, try to clean the church up, try to clean the world up. Oh, just let me get a hold of you. I'll fix you. And we end up doing more damage than we do good because we're trying to do it in our power instead of His power. Amen? So what do? Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. Submerge yourself in the Spirit of God. And when you walk out of the doors and you have conversations with the people, instead of bringing harm, you'll bring healing. You and I have no real ability to change people in ourselves if we try to do it apart from Him. By the way, we don't have any real ability to change ourselves, to clean ourselves. We've got to be filled with His power. So part of staying spiritually awake is being filled with the Spirit. I'm not done preaching, but I just think we ought to take a moment and just ask the Lord right now, Father, fill us fresh and new. Fill us with Your Spirit fresh and new. God, if we've been dry, if we've been asleep at the wheel, if we've been just surviving on yesterday's manna, yesterday's blessing, if we've just been trying to survive on what You did 10 years ago, Lord, I pray that You'll freshen up people's hearts this morning. I pray they will plunge to the depths of Your Spirit this week. I pray that they would just create a hunger to not do harm, but to be filled with the Spirit so they can do healing in their life and around their life. Fourth, how do I awaken? Is we encourage one another. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord. I kind of laughed when I read that this week because I thought, I guess that's for those of us that can't sing. We just sing it in our heart, right? But how many of you have ever had your life impacted greatly because someone just spoke something to you in the right time, right? The Word says, how good is a timely word? Hebrews chapter 10 says, let us not give up the meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but as the day of the Lord's return approaches, let us do so even more, encouraging one another. Part of the reason we're commanded to gather together as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is so that we can not only connect with the Lord, but also that we can encourage one another. I wonder what would happen if I was going to say next Sunday, but let's bring it a little bit, let's zoom in. What if we decided this morning we were not going to go to our car until we encourage somebody else in this building? What if we decided next Sunday that our only job in coming to church was not to just receive something, but my job is to go give encouragement to someone else? How would that change the dynamic of your life? I think that's what we've been called to do as a church. We're to encourage one another. Do you know how to know if someone needs encouragement? Take two fingers, put it on their wrist, and if you sense a pulse, they need encouragement. They need encouragement. If they're living, they need encouragement. Number five, maybe if you want to come, practice gratitude. Always giving thanks to the Lord. One of the reasons we fall spiritually asleep sometimes is we become numb, or we just forget all what God has done for us. Pastor David Jeremiah says it like this: thanksgiving is a good barometer of our spiritual health. You can tell how healthy a person is spiritually by just measuring how thankful they are to the things of God. That's why Colossians chapter 3 says, whatever you do in word and deed, do it in the name of the Lord, Father, giving thanks to God through Him. Psalms 136 says this: give thanks to the Lord, for He's good, and His love endures forever. Just so I know you're with me, would you say that last word with me today? Forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. And so when I give gratitude to God, it reminds me that His love endures to this moment. His love endures to this person. And His love extends to this situation I'm in. That's what gratitude does. You're acknowledging that God is good and His love is being extended to you. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning as we get ready to pray our closing prayer. The overarching question today is, have you been spiritually asleep at the wheel? And today, maybe this service, this sermon has been the shaking point. Maybe today's the message has been the wake-up moment. The Lord is kind of awakening you. You're like, man, I didn't even know when I walked in here I was spiritually. I didn't know. I had drifted off like that. But today you realize I have been spiritually asleep. I've got good news for you this morning. If you've been spiritually asleep, the truth remains that God is ready to shine His presence on you. Simply means He's ready to renew you. He's ready for you to extend His presence to you, His power to you, His working to you and through you. He is ready to shine His face on you fresh and new this morning. I say, Pastor, I've been kind of sleepwalking. I've been asleep at the wheel spiritually. I've been laid back. I just really haven't been living carefully. As I haven't been making the most of opportunity. I've just been spiritually asleep. But the Lord has awakened. He's awakened something inside me today, and I realize I can't do that any longer. I want to know just to pray for you today. Here's what I'm praying, that, you know, if you're aware of it, He's already woke you up. So now I'm just going to pray for you the second part of the scripture, that He will shine His presence on you today. If that's you, just lift a hand real quick and wave at me. Pray for me, Pastor. Amen. 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 All across this room, people are saying the Holy Spirit's shaking me this morning. He's woken me up. And I just think we all should be saying, Lord, let me live my life wide awake. Let me live my life wide awake, being careful, tending over the things You put in my heart. So I want to pray for those who lifted their hands this morning. Father, I'm thankful that You have sent the Spirit of God to awaken people in this room today. Lord, some of them have been sleepwalking, just been kind of going through the motions. But Lord, today You have awoken them. You've caused them to wake up from their sleep. And today You're also wanting to fulfill the second part of that, which is Your promise to let Your light shine on them. And Lord, when the light shines on us, it does certain things for us. Number one, it illuminates places that have been in the darkness. God, I pray that right now, as You've awoken them, You're illuminating places that have been darkness. And some of those places we may need to confess, we may need to repent, we maybe need to get rid of some things, because Your light's there and You're shining upon us. And it's revealing things we didn't see before. And we're not going to hide those things. We're not going to cover it back up. We're just going to give it to You. So I pray right now, people just give You those things You're illuminating right now. But Lord, the light doesn't just illuminate the thing it shines upon, but God, it also raises the temperature. Those things that were cold and dormant now begin to live, and they begin to become useful, become to enjoy the presence of God. I also pray that will take place today. I pray that there'll be a new passion. That's what it's about. New passion today. Things that once were cold and dead will now be alive and passionate. I pray for people's passion to be reborn, rebirth. And Lord, I'm thankful You don't take us back to how we once were. You always do more than enough. You always do more than we can imagine. We always do more. You leave us better than what we came. You change us. God, I pray You'll do that this morning. I pray for passion to arise and erupt through people's lives today. I pray they will have a passion that will not let them fall asleep, but God, will keep them driving into the things of God, that You'll be using them mightily like never before. Lord, awaken us and shine upon us. Shine on us, Lord. Come on, let's make that our closing prayer all across this room. Shine on us, Lord. Let the presence of God shine on us. Illuminate dark places. Lord, infuse us with new passion. Shine on us. Lord, lift us from the coldness of existence. Let us be those who thrive with passion of God, because You're shining on us. Lord, shine on us today. Let the face of God shine on us in such a way that it cannot be hidden. People take notice. They take notice if we say something. They take notice if we don't say something, because the presence of God is just shining on us, resting on us. Let that be true of every person in this room today, especially those who lifted a hand. Lord, I pray they would leave this place, and I pray passion would return in a way that can only be attributed to the hand of God. Do it today in Jesus' name. If you receive the word of God today, would you give Him a hand clap today? We love You, Lord. We love You, Jesus. We love You, Jesus. Hey, it's 11:27 today. If no one's told you yet, they love you. Let me be the first to tell you I love you. God bless you. Thanks for worshiping at the Assembly today.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.